Sport on RTE Radio 1.
And Des Cowles back at more sports this morning again, Des.
Yeah, good morning. We're hours away now from Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano and their world title fight. They weighed in the early hours this morning. The fight takes place the early hours of tomorrow morning. Serrano was on the 136-pound limit. Katie was 135.8 pounds. Now, the fight is on Netflix. It's believed the fighters each earn around $6 million. And from New York, Paul O'Flynn has been telling me about the weigh-in.
Well, the weigh-in was quite a spectacular sight, and I suppose why wouldn't it be with Netflix at the heart of it? And there was plenty of Irish support inside the Madison Square Garden Theatre, which is just next door to the arena where tomorrow's fight will be. And they certainly made themselves heard as Katie Taylor was announced onto the stage. She walked in slowly, really seemed to take it all in, and then she thumped her chest a couple of times before waving at the crowd. And as they roared, she stepped onto the scale and touched the 135.8 pound mark, flexing her muscles and waving to the crowd again. And it's kind of a strange aspect to this whole fight that the promoters, Jake Paul's MVP, who backs Serrano, are somehow trying to make the Puerto Rican look like the champion. And she's been given top billing. She's been announced second. She's getting all the hype while Katie is somehow being portrayed as the challenger, which of course she's not, having beaten Serrano twice already. But I think Katie is just using all this as fuel. We saw her come out swinging at a Wednesday's press conference in a way I've never seen before, saying the facts are the facts and she's the champion. I think she's irked by how the Serrano camp has behaved, really constantly claiming they were hard done by in the fight in Texas last year, that Katie's a dirty fighter and that Serrano also should have won the first fight here in New York 3 years ago. But look, most observers take those claims for what they are, sour grapes mostly, and nobody seriously believes Katie Taylor is in any way a dirty boxer, quite the opposite, in fact. So look, this is definitely a grudge match. I think even if there's a huge respect between both fighters, Katie probably has more to lose by giving Serrano another shot here. But that's the measure of Katie. She always says she wants to be involved in the biggest moments to put women's boxing on the map, and she's certainly done that before, and she's doing it again here. And this is the first time that an all-women's card is taking place in the iconic Madison Square Garden, and there'll be millions more watching on Netflix too, of course. Everyone, I think, is hoping that it'll live up to the last two fights, and I suppose those of us with Irish blood anyway will be hoping Katie does it again. It's live on Netflix, and we reckon they'll enter the ring sometime after 2 a.m. Irish time, and I think it's definitely one that's worth staying up for.
Now, do you hear that? They're deciding whether or not they should stay up till 2 a.m. for the start of the fight, remember. I know a lot of people who stay up for the start and don't survive the fight. Anyway, good luck to Katie. St. Pat's, meanwhile, in soccer, began their Europa Conference League campaign with a narrow 1-0 win against Hegelmann of Lithuania. Aidan Keane scored a late penalty after Pats had dominated the game but missed a host of chances. Tony O'Donoghue got the reaction of St. Pat's manager Stephen Kenny.
Well, I think we deserve more than deserved it. Our performances at home over the last couple of weeks have been very good against Derry and against Bohemians. And I think and the second half against Shelbourne. So I think players are giving everything. They're playing some terrific football. We're snatching at chances, which is sort of hunt for the team. And that's something you don't want. And but the players have been giving everything. And I think tonight they were very good overall.
Were you worried with the possession you had first half and the chances that it might have got into their heads a bit?
We missed some good chances, and particularly early on, we created those. We had a feeling we would create those 4v3 situations, and Brandon Kavanagh's slider of passing was good, you know. And we were in. Mason was in a couple of times. Simon Power, but listen, we got the goal in the end, and it's better to win the game. Difficult to win European games, and we know we face a difficult game in Lithuania, and we'll have to brace ourselves for that.
Stephen Kenny. Now, because of the European action this week, there are just two games in the Premier Division tonight: Bowes versus Galway and Waterford versus Cork City. Host nation Switzerland scored a last gasp goal to salvage a 1-1 draw with Finland that sends Switzerland into the quarterfinals at Euro 2025, and poor Finland go home heartbroken, having thought they were through. Norway topped the group, beating Iceland 4-3. In cycling, one of the great performances of the sporting year yesterday when Ireland's Ben Healy claimed a memorable first Tour de France stage win. A very aggressive, highly impressive ride, peeling away on a solo attack to take victory and adding to a great day for Irish cycling. Eddie Dunbar was fourth, having been part of the breakaway all day. Now to GAA team news. Two changes on the Kerry team for tomorrow's All-Ireland semi-final clash with Tyrone. Mike Breen back in at centre-back for the injured Tom O'Sullivan. Micheál Burns comes in from Mark O'Shea at wing forward. Well, joining us to look ahead to the two semi-finals is Paul Flynn. Let's start perhaps with tomorrow's semi-final between Kerry and Tyrone.
Yeah, exciting game, Des. We watched Kerry breeze through the quarterfinals with that 15 minutes of brilliance. But I think we all know that no two games are the same, especially with these new rules. And Tyrone will have studied Kerry at their very best, and they'll try to avoid the traps that that Armagh fell into. Particularly Kerry hammered Armagh on their kickouts, but Tyrone won't make that easy for Kerry. They have a dominant midfield. They've got Niall Morgan, and he's got pinpoint long range kickouts. So Tyrone can punish Kerry if they press too aggressively and try to smother Morgan. He can go over the top of them, but winning that primary possession is key, Des. We've seen it so often, and especially when Kerry have the attacking trio, Sean O'Shea, David Clifford, Paddy Clifford will all be on the same, all be on the pitch at the same time at some stage in the game, and they're a lethal combination. No team can mark all three of those, but Tyrone don't have three defenders good enough to shut them all down, so it's about damage limitations. Dublin got loads of possessions against Tyrone and they just couldn't put them away, and I think Kerry will put them away. For Tyrone to win, they need Morgan to have a perfect game and Derek Hanavan to come in and kick 1-8. Both of them are possible, but I see Kerry edging this one. I think they have too much firepower up front, Des.
All right, and then we have Donegal and Meath on Sunday.
I think Donegal look primed to reach the All-Ireland final, but they can't afford to think that it's a done deal. Complacency would be their biggest enemy here this weekend. Meath are an exceptional team. They're growing in confidence. And if for this game to go their way, or at least put Donegal to the pin of their collar, I believe they need three things to happen. They need to win in the kick-out battle. Sean Patton and the Donegal midfield are a huge strength of Donegal. But Meath, since they got hammered in the breaking ball against Louth, have improved in that area significantly. They need to tag every runner. Donegal's running game is their strength, but Meath have been very man-to-man, and any lapse in concentration, if they don't tag every runner that goes by them, Donegal will find the gaps, and Meath need to score their 2-pointers. Donegal have averaged 26 points a game. Meath averaged 24. Meath need to hit them 2-pointers to stay in the game. My fear is even if Meath execute on all of those things, it's still too big a task. Semi-final, higher altitude, more difficult. Donegal look primed to progress, but Meath are going to push them to the pin of their collar.
All right. And of course, tomorrow we have the Tailteann Cup final. Big day for Kildare against Limerick.
Yeah, absolutely big day, and it's been a phenomenal growth story for Limerick. You know, they've had a lot of challenges over the last two seasons, but they've rebuilt brilliantly this year. They've got leaders in their panel. They've got Ian Corbett, Tommy Childs through that centre who've been exceptional, and they've got a trio up front, Neville Nash and Nocton, who have the firepower to be able to put scores on the board, and they've got real quality. They've already won at Croke Park this year. We've seen that, and that experience will definitely stand to them, but I think Kildare are on a mission. Brian Flanagan has done a great job to keep these boys focused, and for them, anything less than a win will feel like failure. So they need Kevin Feely and their leaders to step up, and they need Byrne and Kerwin and Flynn all to give a performance for Kildare that they can be proud of. And I think they'll just edge it with the quality that they have. Both really exciting games to look forward to as well.
All right, thanks for that, Paul. Lots of concern here in the studio about Meath wearing green and Donegal wearing yellow and green.
Well, you've got a green grass sunny day. Surely that's tricky for not only the players, but the fans.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I think you might be right. I think there might be unease about it.
And it's going to be very, very warm.
Yeah.
So for...
It's perfect. Not good for the players.
No, not if you're not. Well, not if you're depending on a running game, which is...
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be tested, isn't it?
Well, we'll see. Meade will have to run as well. It won't be just only go.
No, I mean, what yeah. Paul Flynn was saying about having to tag a player, that's going to be exhausting.
Yeah. Make for a great contest. It's men's semi-final day at Wimbledon with a couple of great contests here as well. Number 5 seed Taylor Fritz plays Carlos Alcaraz. Yannick Sinner is up against Novak Djokovic. And we're guaranteed a new women's champion at Wimbledon after Iga Swiatek and America's Amanda Anisimova came through yesterday's semi-finals. In golf, Lee Ona Maguire goes into day 2 of the Evian Championship in France as joint leader after her great round of 65 yesterday. And at the Scottish Open, Rory McIlroy birdied the last three holes to leave him 4 shots off the pace. Patrick Harrington 1 shot further back. In racing, El Cordobes gave William Buick his 2000 British winner in the Princess of Wales Stakes at Newmarket. That meeting continues today, and the action at home is at Kilbeggan and Cork.